I don't know about Jim or Tim.
Tim will not be here.
Tim will not be here?
Okay.
Okay, so call the meeting to order. The first order of business, did everyone have a chance to look at the minutes? So I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Do you have a second? Any discussion on the minutes? Okay, so a motion to accept. We have a motion on the table for discussion. All in favor of accepting the minutes as amended?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, so as the agenda suggests, I'd like the bulk of the meeting to be discussing procurement policy. And Mark has joined us. Mark, do you mind coming to the table, sitting at the table with us? Just because I'd rather you sit with us just for the purpose of us hearing you well as well. And thank you for Mark made copies of the procurement methods in the purchasing department, which are being circulated, Kristen. And purchase of goods, commodities, and some breakdown of that. So if everyone has one. Okay, and this is obviously proof bonus for this. We've, along with our charge, we've been empowered to hire consultants. So that's one aspect of this, and also the issue has been raised by various members about the potential of putting out a request for, it was originally called a request, a proposal, an RFP, but probably we're talking about an RFI, about the possibility of rail for sections or whole of the corridor. So we wanted to talk about how that policy would work as well. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Mark, to begin.
I really prepared just talking about the consultant.
Let's begin with that, yeah.
If you want to talk about that, reading the resolution looks like you appropriated $30,000, so there's a couple of different avenues you can do. $30,000 is below our threshold requiring an RFP, which is $40,000 for the procurement manual, so mm-hmm. you could go out and get three quotes instead of actually putting it out in RFP form. Now, you may not know who you want to send it to, and it may make more sense to do an RFP. It would go on Empire State, and it would be broadcast widely. It'd be a little bit more transparent as well. But it's an option to just show it, you know, through quotes. As far as the different RFP efforts, you know, a lot of the planning department, when they hire engineers, and when a lot of some of the departments hire engineers, architects, they use SMQ. That's kind of a requirement for federal funds. We wouldn't be required to do that here. I'll let Carol kind of touch on the differences between SMQ, which is just a statement of qualification, compared to an RFP.
As Mark said, the SOQ is you're really looking at who your consultants are. You can interview them and you can pick one of them. The way they do it in planning is they don't even look at price, which in this case they're going to charge you your $30,000. But mm-hmm. you get a chance to choose your consultants based on their qualifications and their experience. An RFP is a bit more exacting in that you're still considered that experience and that qualification, but you've also developed a scope of work. And I've often described an RFP as saying, we have a problem. Here's our problem. You tell us how to fix it. Now, I know you've worked on RFP committees. You've worked on a couple. So then they come up with a proposal. The scope of work defines your problem, defines what you want them to be doing, what you want them to be looking for. One of the biggest differences between a bid and an RFP is a bid says, I want this. An RFP says, I need you to do this. I need you to tell me how you're going to do this. And then what happens is, we have the same thing as Mark talked about. We put it on the official papers, in the official papers. We mail it to anyone that the department, or in this case, the committee wishes, and we put it up on the Empire State Purchasing Group. It's not unusual to get 100 or more consultants on that group. They are notified that it's up there. They can go and take a look at it and decide, yes, this is something we would like to do, or no, we're not going to be bothered with that. There is a time that they're due, and then we appoint a committee. As I said, these two ladies at least have worked on RFPs. The committee then reads them. Based on what that scope of work is, and again, it doesn't have to be detailed, it has to be explain the problem. Based on that scope of work, you score each one of those RFPs, and then you decide, all right, we have six sitting here. Ah, that one's no good. These two, maybe. But these three are really good. And then you have the option to bring those three, all six, one or none, into the interview where you can discuss further what they have proposed and what you maybe don't see in the proposal, but something you think you should be there and how would they handle it.
Let me just jump in real quick. So the scoring criteria is established before we put out the RFP.
It's actually in the RFP.
It'll be in the RFP, so we're not putting out scoring criteria after the fact. The other thing I wanted to mention is it would be up to the committee to develop the scope of services. That's one thing that we don't do as purchasing, because we're not experts in each field. Mm-hmm. But normally the scope of services comes from the department, or in this case, the committee.
Can I ask a question? In terms of the, I sat on at least one committee where we looked at these, but could this whole committee be the scoring committee for?
There are no regulations as to how big or small they are. Yes, they could. I think that's what we did with the audit one the last mm-hmm. time. Was it
yeah,
not?
It was a smaller committee, but it was the whole committee.
Smaller committee. People may not wish to be on it, mm-hmm. but there's no reason you couldn't. It might be a little unwieldy, but isn't it important, though, that when it comes to scoring, that you score it individually, not with each other, you know, not share what you're scoring, otherwise it loses.
And if somebody is not into doing that, then I strongly recommend they step away from the committee.
Mm-hmm. You have to be there to meet all, right? You have to be there to meet all the committee, all the
right. And usually, I would say three meetings you can do it. One is the first meeting after everyone has read them and scored them. Mm-hmm. The second meeting would be interviews if you choose to do them, and the third one, which often gets rolled into the end of the second one, is your conversation and your selection. Mm-hmm.
The only thing to think about by having everybody on this committee, the RFP committee, is that you will have the quorum of this committee. And, I mean, typically RFP committees aren't open.
No.
The audit committee was that way.
Yeah, that's what
I just wouldn't want, my thought is I wouldn't want to exclude any member of this committee from choosing. So making that selection would be an important selection.
Five on a committee, mm-hmm. but I understand that this type of committee is different.
Yeah.
I think we went much more on that with
with the audit ones that we did.
Because I don't know the detail on the other ones for sure.
Wouldn't we just go into executive session?
Yes, I do believe we need it.
One thing I will tell you, there is a form that we ask committee members to sign, the confidentiality form. It is binding during the evaluation and scoring, and that allows the members of the committee to freely discuss what's in the RFPs without any outside interference. We also, we don't want you talking to anyone outside. We want this to be a committee of decision. Once the committee has reached a decision, there are minutes written that summarize how the committee got to that conclusion. And everything in that those RFP submissions from any of the agencies, unless they're marked proprietary, which we have the right to say, no, that's not the case, it can be foiled. So while the committee review is controlled, once that committee is over, it's wide open.
I recall that too, which included our individual notes that we were writing on the form. We turned them in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all that we keep by the scoring. The scoring sheets all get put
we
in.
We did, they didn't have our names on, so it wasn't specific to which member was scoring, but all the scoring sheets were public, became public.
Same way with the minutes. The minutes will say, a member said, the committee thought, the committee found. I don't use names because I think it, you know, it makes people think twice about making a comment on something.
Are there other questions? Is there any committee members who have other questions?
Do you have an idea of the scope of what you want a consultant
We've
to do?
Talked about some, and that was my final question was, once we finalized the scope, what would the turnaround time for getting it out be?
I would probably promise you 2 weeks. Might be able to do it sooner.
Okay.
RFPs are coming fast and furious this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually we would give the consultants maybe 3 weeks to return it. Once it's returned, the committee has to decide if everyone's going to participate. I would ahead of time send you copies of the RFP document that went out to the vendors so you can see this is what they are working against. And I usually will say to you, I should read paragraphs 7 through 12 because the rest of it's all boilerplate and doesn't make any difference. That's for all the lawyers out there. And then I would send you the list of questions, the things that you have to judge. And I parallel them to exactly what I told the vendors in that RFP document. This is what we're going to judge you on. And over here, I tell you, this is what you are to judge them on. And you, no matter what you know, who you know, or how much you know, that's what you got to work with. Sometimes that's hard, especially department head who knows a company or knows the process. But you got to stick with what's on the paper.
Given that we're working with a limited financial number, would that number, earlier you said everyone would just put 30,000, would that number be telegraphed to them, or would it say, would we have a max, or would it just say?
It's in the resolution that creates the committee. Right. I mean, anybody who's going to, they're going to go look at that as well. I mean, typically we don't put a price unless the department wants established. You know, sometimes we get questions, what's the budget for this?
We don't necessarily have to put it in. I mean, if they want to go do their homework, fine, but we don't have to put that in.
Well, also, I would imagine if someone came back with if someone came back with an amazing proposal that went beyond our expectations and was a little more, we could always ask, we can ask the legislature for more money if we had to. I'm not saying we do that, but or we could do for less. What?
Or we could negotiate.
Right. Or we can negotiate.
Or you could put in that the estimated budget would be $30,000.
Okay. That's a good one.
The only problem I see with that is, if you put the estimated as $30,000, it's going to come in at $29,995.
That's not what we have. They usually come in at 30, believe it or not. But what happens when that outstanding proposal you get comes in at 55?
Or when they work up their proposal, it comes in at 21,000, but they know they can get 30.
Okay, of course. I will do it whichever way you want. But what I also will do is to ask them to put in a line-by-line budget.
Yes.
So you can see where they're going to spend that money.
And the other thing that gives us an option for is that we can pick A, B, skip C, D, E, based upon what their line item is. Do you have a score sheet that exists for the county now?
I'm sorry, what?
A scoring sheet.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get a copy of that?
Sure. Can you give me your email or your call?
Sure.
The criteria that we'd be scoring by, is that going to, is that created specific to this RFP, or and who creates that?
Give him and I'll give, I can send it to you and you can distribute it if you want. I have
Do we have
general one,
mm-hmm.
and then we kind of tailor it for each individual RFP.
Okay, so the committee could get feedback on that as well.
They're experience and qualifications, that's mm-hmm. important. The cost is usually figured in there. Something like this, and you score different, how you end up 100. The overall plan, what are they going to, how are they going to structure it? That's usually the most important. The understanding of our problem, and then the local economic development, the 5 points that they get for being up to five for being mm-hmm. local. But, and I will massage it a little bit depending on, but they're pretty general. And you may have something in particular you want, and we can do that. But the general ones usually work pretty good.
Yeah. I'll share with the committee. When I worked for the Department of Transportation, I set up the rating system for consultant requirements, and then I piggybacked that when I went to the Thruway Authority and set theirs up. And I have some score sheets that I can share with the committee. They're generic.
Why don't you send them to me, too?
Sure. You give me your address.
And Carol, if you, when you send the score sheet out, if you could send it to myself and or Krista. That way, then we can circulate to the mm-hmm. whole committee. I think it would be helpful for everybody to just.
So why don't you just send it to Krista?
Yeah.
And then it'll just go to the entire committee.
I think that'd be better. Just the committee. It'd be good for the whole committee to see mm-hmm. it also.
Oh, Krista, what's your K D A R? Do that, and then we'll send her stuff.
Okay. Were there other? Does anyone have any other questions right now?
Well, for us, we need to set the criteria and
yeah.
the scope of the scope of the work.
That's the big,
I've heard of that right now. That we can't do for you because we don't know what you want.
So once we do, though, you have an idea, too, of who may be best suited because of your experience with a lot of the
people. Give me names, Herb, you should have some names.
What's that?
Names of people up front that
yeah. Yeah, I can't think of more. That's a conflict of interest.
I have some of your staff in my credential.
Okay. One thing I would recommend, though, is that we also list it in the contract reporter, because that does very well.
Absolutely.
And it'll get out to a majority that not only, well, the consultant for the others.
It strikes me that time is of the essence, that we really should dial down and scope of work pretty quickly, because if it's going to take 2 weeks, which seems like a quick turnaround, take up to 2 weeks to get it.
I can get it out and then
another three coming back. It really means we're looking at 2 months. Yeah.
You know, process as well. And you're going to bring in people for interviews if you're going to do that. You're really talking about 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So.
And given that we have a limited time in terms of our charge, I think that we should get going. Are we prepared? Does this committee feel prepared to discuss what we'd like to see today? I think that if we could do that, since that's what I'd like for this focus of this meeting to stay on, it'd be great to discuss what we see as the potential for the scope of
services so that we can move quickly toward getting information to Carol and Mark so that we can get it out.
And I don't care what, how you write it.
Mm-hmm.
You give it to me, I can
write it. You can make it.
That thing. But the first thing, the one thing you really have to do is what you want to accomplish. Now, you can do that and then back up and tell how you want it accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the bottom line, which, what you want to accomplish.
Makes sense.
This is going to sound counterproductive, but without making it too exact. You want to tell them what your problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Let them, you know RFP process.
Mm-hmm.
Good guidance on that.
I just want to mention that I'm still
So let me open the discussion then to the committee for regarding the scope of services. Do we need Mark and Carol? Does anyone have any more questions for Mark and Carol right now? Because I don't want them to have to stay for the
test.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Any more questions for Mark or Carol? Thank you so much for taking the time to speak.
Tracy, you've got my phone number.
Yes, I'll give you a call.
Call me probably tomorrow. Before.
Yes, thank you, Carol. And thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You're quite welcome, Brad. It was full and nice. Always nice seeing
you. Okay, so.
Yes, it has a
quality.
I would love to
know. So, I have a suggestion. I think it would be fair, since the committee is charged with the entire length of the corridor, that we come to some kind of agreement on use, and not focus on rail, and not focus on trail, but focus on the possible best use of that corridor. Because I think it would slight one side or the other to put in a request, you know, is this possible, you know, to just narrow it to two uses. I mean, who knows? This Alpine Slide, Brian's are coming back. Maybe, you know, an Alpine Slide is a good use of that. Who knows? I'm just saying, I think that maybe it should be totally objective as to what would be the best use of that corridor.
You're saying to keep the scope neutral in terms of a reference to rail or trail, to leave it devoid of that.
Wording shouldn't be pushed one way or the other.
Can I interrupt you just to add one more thing? When you do write that scope of work, I like what you're saying, but write it as if whoever's reading it knows nothing about the background of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to write what this is, maybe what it's proposed, other uses, but do a history in there so that people know this is what, you understand what I'm saying? And that comes time, write it for someone who knows nothing about it.
No, that's a helpful point.
Should we first discuss what kind of consultant we're looking for?
Yeah, I think that's paramount, what you want them to do, or is it the other way around?
I think we're going to have to hit on both things, so it depends on the angle that you're coming at it. I mean, Carl's suggesting that the discussion, that in terms of what we're asking, that remain neutral in terms of just the description of the corridor. But I think we have to, in terms of scope of work, we're talking about what we're asking the consultant to do. So, yes, ma'am.
I think what Carol recommends is, makes a lot of sense, and that is to try to figure out the so-called problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a problem, it's a challenge. But and I agree that we should look at the whole corridor. And I think that is very much part of the challenge. At some point, particularly when we were discussing setting up the committee, and I apologize if missed a couple meetings, but listened to the the actual recordings and looked at the information. Let's move on, because it will come back to me. When I lose a train of thought, then I'll
have to say it. Well, I wouldn't want to expand on that without saying to himself, the possibilities of that entire corridor, I think we should investigate all the possibilities, and within the possibilities, I'd like to see the economic benefits of whatever. And I know, I'm sorry that I'm just being so ambiguous, but what the potential could be for that corridor. I think that the focus could be, what's the potential? And to give an example, but I don't think we should put it in the scope of work, is the potential, just a world-class trail, or is it a multi-use type of thing, where there's rail, trail, and some other use, or,
But are you suggesting that the consultant would give us an answer to that question? I'm earnestly asking you the question. Are you saying that we want to hire a consultant to tell us what's the potential for the corridor?
Because otherwise, the only other thing we can do is say, give us a feasibility study on a railroad trail, give us a feasibility study on a trail only, and give us a feasible study on a rail.
Well, and some of those studies have been done with limitations over time, so.
Mm-hmm. And I think it would be, since we do have those studies, it would be a waste of the consultant money if we didn't actually get someone, and I don't know how you're going to find someone who doesn't know the history of it, but potential is, I want somebody to look at it and see it for the potential.
The real numbers for this particular place, like for instance, I know the Adirondack study that we took a look at, if you saw some of those things they talked about, the possibility of, they're going to create a trail in certain areas, and they were going to keep up rails in certain areas. And they pointed out the ridership, and they said that there was going to be approximately 16,000 ridership, and, that's a little different here than it would be there. But I think whatever their study was may be something that we would want to look at. Maybe we can find that what their RFP was when they did that study. Because that might be something that, could help us, zero in on what we want. I don't know. But I think it's what Carl's talking about is the economic, one of the things would be the economic benefits of the various uses of the corridor as a whole, or that of sectioning the corridor off for various uses depending on the section. And that they would need to, in other words, they would need to consult with, of course, the present railroad. They would consult with the planners and that type of thing. And we would want to get the numbers, of course, of, what these, right now, the Catskill Mountain Railroad had somewhere around 43,000 riders at one place in the past year. So that's a different sort of number. And it's changed the complexion of what we should at least change the complexion of the conversation. I think that RFP from Adirondack may be something that we could I'd love to get that, what they sent out. I don't know if we'd be able to get that or not.
We should be able to get that, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Should be able to. No.
I'm going to keep it to the table for a moment.
Can I just say what I forgot?
Yes.
Somebody else started trying to say that. Several people had mentioned the possibility of doing an RFP just out to the world to see who out there might want to do what to develop the corridor. So I think that might be one of the questions, is that a good idea? Mm-hmm. I think right now if we can start to brainstorm what our
options are. I'm not saying to do that now, but to, as part of what you were both saying, and that was, if I recall the conversation, I feel like we were corrected that it wouldn't be an RFP, it would be more an RFI.
Yes.
Or an RFQ, I think.
An RFI.
A request for information for at least initially.
Yeah. Requiring money other than doing advertisements. Now, other than that, you're not looking for somebody to actually do something or actually do that suggestion of what they could do.
Right.
I feel like we're talking about a lot of different things, and not to close it off, but you know, maybe if I could step back and kind of what I thought about when we originally talked about this was the consultant is someone we would bring on to help us quantify various proposals that already are, I mean, there's so much work that's already done. The whole intent was to look at all of the pieces that were done, where we believe there may be opportunity to consider other things, and have this consultant help facilitate that and cost out potential economic value, to try to go and start to do things from scratch all over again, I think is a heck of a lot more money than $30,000, and I don't know that was our intent. So it was more about, okay, so we have information, maybe it's validating some of that information, making sure we have all the information, and something then to help us quantify that. We have some expertise to help cipher through the engineering aspects or the challenges there. That's where you bring a level of expertise that I think can be really helpful here. That potentially the consultant is someone who's going to help us kind of put the structure around those thoughts and help to start lay out cost potential or opportunities where we might be able to do more than just trail or rail with trail and what it could cost. I mean, it was not trying to reinvent the wheel. It was a better understanding of the data we had, getting our arms around it, do we agree or don't we agree, and then kind of start to look at what other possibilities. That was
the only problem with that is,
yeah,
some of the data is not up to date. And so many different changes that have taken place in the
They would have to update it.
Yeah.
They would have to update it. That would be
that's
one of the
exactly
charts.
That was exactly my understanding of what we had planned on hiring a consultant for, is because we have all these studies that were done and have another set of eyes to go through them and report to the committee, you know, the questions you might have about them, and how does he substantiate, you know, the information, you know, that's in there.
And then with the water and trail, which a lot of folks haven't even been through the corridor. So
yeah,
a visualization of even the corridor and the capabilities in the corridor, and aligned with some of the data already out there, and then looking at what needs to be expanded. I mean, I feel like let's not start all over, but let's get a better understanding and push and challenge the things that are not clear or we believe after having seen something could be considered that hasn't been. I mean, I think that's, you know,
that's why I need the consultant on board.
Right.
So there's a tremendous amount of it. So someone to help us work through all the information,
right,
and keep us on point, Carl.
All right. It does state in the first resolve, conducting a thorough re-examination and study of the work completed to date, with the addition of an economic assessment by township with respect to optimum economic feasibility.
Well,
I mean, that was the first resolve.
Well, but I don't know if it's worded much better.
No, that's right.
Right.
I mean, better than reinventing the wheel. is what studies do we have? We have the studies that the Transportation Council did.
Yeah.
The one that we had
looked at last month.
We have the newest study that was done. Was there any other studies?
The newest study is really just the Ashokan Court.
I mean, the list is so extensive, and there's so much work that's been done that in working it out with Fawn, who couldn't be here tonight, we're going to have to probably give it to everybody on drives, because it's just too much, I mean, to get giant volumes of paper, and then if people want certain things printed out, we can print them out, or for discussing specific things, we could do that as we go.
At very least, we should comprise the list.
Yeah.
Well, or can even start with kind of like the chunks of the corridor and understanding what's already been done here or proposed, right?
Yes.
Because the real challenge we have now is a potential railroad trail from the Kingston piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of hanging out there. I mean, it's all of these things as we are going through the data and actually going on the corridor that says, can these things be done? What's the impact? You know, what's the plus and minus, and do we agree with it or not based on the data that's already been presented?
Jeanette, do you want
to say something? Yeah. So there's a lot of different studies being done. I'm trying to, in my mind, visualize. You're going to hire a consultant. And I would think we would have a discussion about each one.
Right.
I don't throw them all together and then you know, your head will explode. I think you should justify each one. Is it valid? Is everything they say, you know, is up to par? I mean, do we agree with it? Otherwise, I don't understand how you're going to go from A to Z. Let's start someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Every project, no matter what size it is segmented. And this should also be broken up into segments. So each segment may have a unique set of characteristics and potential economically and cost-wise. And the nice thing about this is that there are logical areas to break the segments up. And it also becomes a good planning tool for the county for the future, because this might be $80 million worth of corridor to build, but if you segment it, we can build this section for $5 million, we can build that section over there for $8 million, because of the railheads and locations and proximity to Route 28 and some of the other local roads, you can build it in segments, and then link those segments where you can. And if you have a particular corridor segment that costs $80 million to fix, well, obviously that one's not going to start tomorrow. So, I mean, every project lends itself to that type of analysis and approach, and I think that would be an excellent planning tool for the planning department to know where we think we should be moving, and then it depends on resources and funding to take that to the next step.
Yes, ma'am. A couple other things that we want to look at what has already been done, but I think we agree we also want to define if there are any gaps in what has been done. And the other thing that is very important, I think, is to have somebody look at what has been done with an independent set of eyes, the economics, the various assessments and evaluations. And I think, you know, that's something that somebody with expertise enough that doesn't have a dog in the fight, because I think we're all realistic enough to know that there's been a lot of polarization over this issue. And we want to find somebody who is neutral and knowledgeable that can help us see where, you know, some things that are said may be another side to that coin. And so I want to be sure that that's part of the
qualifications or criteria is somebody who is independent and can, have the knowledge of economics, has the knowledge of railroads and trails, trail systems, and other potentials, so that while we're looking at it, knowing that there are sections, and I totally agree that the sections can be developed as it may sense, what's the low-hanging fruit that's going to result in the most benefit? Then how could, also, what are the various sources of funding and what structure, we know a lot about the existing sources of funding, but there may be other potential sources of funding. Mm-hmm. So I think those are some of the key things we would be looking for in a consultant.
That raises a question, too. Maybe the purchasing firm should have looked at it. Because can we limit the bidders just to only say independent? I mean, like, what if the last firm that did the 11-mile stretch wants to bid? Do they get disqualified because we're going to say that they're not independent? How are we going to...
You mean independent mindset, not... Yeah.
Well, how do you get... But I'm saying, so let's say we get the RFIs back and actually two of the consultants have done studies jointly on the last one and separately with the Transportation Council years ago. How can they, so what are we going to do? Ask them to be independent and then look at it, instead of having them draw the data that they already know? And is that legal?
I would offer back that you're going to be
hiring.
That would be something
we're all going to score individually.
I understand that.
And for example, Carl, if someone responds that has been involved in one of the previous studies based on the criteria, you might. There's a lot of latitude as a person scoring. You might say, I'm uncomfortable, and when we have the conversation, you might say, I'm uncomfortable with that person for this reason. We're going to have those conversations.
You can very well, in the RFP, that could be one of the questions that you're requesting a response from, is how much work have you done for the council?
Mm-hmm.
How much work have you done
on this
for whomever? I mean, you could have that as one of your questions. So then that's something we'll be able to
You know. Can also put into the criteria, we're going to see generic criteria score sheets, but we could ask that criteria be put in that ranks independence as a certain number of points. I mean, that we could do that if we to work with Carol to change that.
Letter B. It does mention independent consultants by saying, following the county's procurement process, the committee will retain the services of an independent consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So we just make that as a generic phrase, or
it's how we define it.
If I may, the
consultants, it could be someone who's worked on it. It could be a group of people, but it could be someone who's not actually a consultant in a group that maybe has worked on it, but this individual consultant hasn't. Part of what they're paid to do is to come and be a neutral party, help navigate through the issues. But it's also got to be a comfort level with the group, and so that has to be part of it as well. But the one thing we've talked about what we want in knowledge and skills, somebody who's been in a rail trail conversion, someone who, can do some economic evaluations for us, and, neutral, able to facilitate a group. But what we haven't talked about, which I think is the critical piece, and it came up last time and it's come up again, is what is our problem? Let's define what the problem is. The problem is we have a corridor, we have a number of proposals on what has to happen. We have a policy in place, so let's be clear on what the problem is, and kind of put it on the table.
And you can't ignore what has already been, through resolution, supported and voted on.
Well, or can you? I mean, I'm not saying you want to, but I'm saying, what's the problem? You know, the problem is that there are groups that believe, you know, we have a corridor and we have differences of opinion on what we should do with this corridor.
Yeah,
right?
I'll just tell you what I'm not clear on at this point is where can we justify rail trail? I don't know that.
Yeah, sure. Next one.
Ironically, in the other real world, consultants do get points for familiarity of the area and understanding of the problem and for the experience of their firm and experience of their key personnel for the scope of the work. And those are actually a lot of the weighted scoring on the DOT and the throughways procurement process. So we shouldn't have to recreate that wheel.
So it'd be good to see you, what you created for those organizations.
I think we were talking about identifying where the money is, and that's something that could probably be in there in the research. You know, there's an exhaustive look at money for rails. There's not been much of a look for money for rails or money for rails with trails, because there's a different granting sources for those than there are for the trails alone. And I know there's significant money in each one of those depending on the circumstances. So I think
you're talking about, when you talk about where the money is, you mean money for developing the project
or developing, in other words, there's been, that type of thing.
But we should also, and the resolution speaks to the economic benefit to the county of the project as defined. So.
For instance, there is a study by Don on like a railroad from Houston to Brentford Dyke, and then one particular study done by the railroad. So what would be the, in other words, is there money involved? Is there grant money that could get them through there? And I'm not talking about running the trail. Maybe if the rail is there a solution there? Maybe it is a railroad trail. Maybe we should be spending more to accomplish that if it's a, But, I mean, we need to look at what the corridor is best used for, where we're going to, like you said, where's the biggest economic benefit. And we can't ignore the health issues either, I mean, at the same time.
I'm going to keep that at the table until we're done, and then I'll open it to the floor just so that,
I also have some questions about legal issues. So that would be another source of expertise, of independent expertise. For example, the rail banking question is a big question, and I'm not saying that the county hasn't done its due diligence and, tried to get some information, but it's a complicated question and it has important long-term implications. That's just one example, but there are a lot of issues, and I think probably it makes sense for us to take some time, not just here tonight, but to think about what our questions and what we want to be able to go to a consultant to ask, and even if they don't know, they have the experience to find that.
And can I just respond to the rail banking issue? I will be speaking to B because the county has a rail banking expert on retainer who advised the county, and I think that this committee, if I speak to B, hopefully will be able to have some kind of consultation or direct conversation with that attorney. At least that would be my hope. So that would be one place to begin, I think, in terms of answering those questions. If they're not the answer to your satisfaction, and that's one attorney, then
we go from there, but we certainly should speak to the person that's been retained by the county and is on retainer with the county for that express purpose. And I have done some of my own research on her. She's very well published on the issues, so she's certainly someone who's a recognized expert on the subject. So this committee should,
if we could have a direct communication, I think that'd be great. That may have been a bad example, but I think just listening to the conversation from the last meeting, there were some questions that I think are questions of interpretation of existing precedents that are then, being changed, and what are the implications of, some of the legal questions and decisions. So I would just want that the consultant that is selected have some good knowledge about land use practices and railroad law. Not to say that we don't already have a consultant that can answer the rail bank question, but to have another, that's the whole idea of finding an independent consultant, is somebody who can say, yeah, that is true, and so-and-so. And I don't know what that is yet, but I do think we should take some time between now and the next meeting, and if everybody lists their questions and funnels, then, then that's the way of organizing it.
Okay, Herb, and then...
No, I'm good. All I was going to say is that, we already have that.
Andrea first.
Yes. And she should be invited here, and we should have the opportunity to question her and pose our issues to her and have her research them and get back to the committee officially.
Again, I just, as I'm thinking through and hearing all the conversations and trying to kind of feed back in a way that maybe brings some structure, we're not going to find a consultant for the kind of money we were talking about that's going to be all-inclusive, that's going to be able to opine on rail banking, who's going to be able to, do the economic. I think we have to, again, to go back, just define what it is we want this consultant to help us specifically with, and not that that's not an important thing, but that's probably on the list of things we need further research or further dialogue on as part of what we work on with this consultant. But to expect the consultant to be able to respond to some of that, I don't think. I think what they will do is we'll be able to create a parking lot of the things that we need additional expertise and knowledge on. But to think this person can do all of that, I think will require a lot more money than what we have. I guess is the best way to say it. So, but it's an important point not to lose sight of, right? And we talked about that in the beginning. But again, if we can zero in on what it is we want the consultant to help us with, what we have defined as the problem. We have this corridor. We have differences of opinion. What else? What is it? Why are we, all sitting around the table here, and what are the things that are of concern to us? We have potential rail with trails, maybe. I mean, that's one element of it. But what are the things that, we want to flesh out and at the end of the day, this group to accomplish?
I think that Carl, reading from the resolution, we can use that as a skeleton to form, and I can work with Carol between now and then, but I hope that at the next meeting we have more specific questions so that when this committee looks at a skeleton of a scope of services, we're able to, at the next meeting in a working session, leave with something that can go out. Or pretty close, pretty close. I wouldn't expect Carol to turn in immediately, but pretty close thereafter. Okay, is there anything else from the table right now before I open to the floor? Because I know there were questions out there, but I wanted us the opportunity to speak amongst ourselves first.
I just, listening to Lynn, know, and man, and my first statement, you know, about what I wanted to see, I think it's important to, in the scoring part of this, you know, economic benefit has got to be a big one. And when we do the scoring too, instead of having equal 100, so depending on the criteria, I mean, we have 10 criteria. I mean, how many questions are usually in?
You can have as many as you want, but then, you know, you're still only going to come up with
100. No,
so
I know.
You could have, if that's very important,
if I get 10
normal. Say if that particular question was very important to everybody on the table,
right.
You could put a high legal vote on that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we will determine that once we decide what all the questions are we're looking
for. Sure. I mean, maybe this is really, you know, we should look at this, and I know, you know, Rupert's got a lot of experience.
Well, Kurt will circulate his drafts of the work that he did. We'll get the county's basic draft, so the whole committee will have a chance to look at all those versions of scoring sheets, and then, again, at the same next meeting, we'll be able to comment on that, or I hope that everyone will be able to speak to those scoring sheets, and as we come out of dialing down the scope of work, we can also work on figuring out the scoring if we wanted to.
Is there any way, you know, that we could take the benefit of the criteria of the scoring to actually help us develop the scope of work, though? Because, you know, we want to know economic benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's part of the scope of work, right? We want to know the best use of the corridor. You know, whether it's one use or mixed use.
But when you said use the scoring, I mean, the way that would translate to scoring would be what? To say that the applicant who could best tell us the economic benefit, like is most qualified to tell us the economic benefit?
Well, no, I'm trying to get to the scope. So if we list our wants, maybe that's what we need to do. We need to list our wants individually and score our own selves.
Well, we
don't
want to be too specific.
Yeah.
No. But I mean, we need to come up with a scope before we can come up with an idea.
Could you get to get in touch with people that did the Adirondack study and the RFP for theirs, so we can get a copy of theirs?
Yes, we'll do that.
Because in some, it's very different, but at the same time, there is some similarity.
It'd be nice to know what they spent on that too.
I bet it's a lot more than $30,000. Yeah, well, that was a really large quarter. They're looking at 118 miles.
And it was also used as actual transportation for the train, moving people from one place to the other.
But it wasn't really out of force train.
Yeah, well, we'll get it anyway, just even as a comparison.
Sure,
yes. We should. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get it. Okay. Anything else on the floor for the moment? Is it okay with the committee if I work with Carol using the resolution as the skeleton, and we'll come back knowing that that's not going to be finalized, but that'll be your starting point?
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll open this to the floor. I know there were questions out there, Kathy.
Thank you. A lot of times when people look at the value of a corridor, they do just economic benefit. So I think it would be important to look at health, as Dave suggested, and also recreation and open space. Parks don't have direct economic benefit in the same way as some other activities, and yet they clearly have benefit.
So quality of life issue.
Quality of life, exactly. And in addition to the ALTA study and the OSI study, which you mentioned, the few studies that I think are central is the Cologne study, which is an economic benefit analysis of 25 miles of the corridor, and the Capitol Mountain Railroad Company analysis, which they mentioned.
Their business. Is that their business plan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Their business plan. And the tax conditions report that was done of the entire corridor to so that we know where we're starting from.
Just to Phoenicia?
When was that done? I don't have that one.
And there may be a couple of other things that we could suggest, so that it might be a smaller use.
Yeah, because I have a long list, so if we can chat with those.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
I would just add to that, it may be surprising either what is going on in the project right now, like Hartman Institute. If we have a letter from Hartman Institute looking at the limited section of the quarters and the possibility of being able to trail the any section that the county might be proposed, and it does look and give a kind of a summary of some of the kinds of constraints and challenges that are there to do rail the trail and give an estimate, a major estimate for the kind of cost that is involved in doing side by side rail the trail.
What study is that?
It's a letter. Is it provided?
That letter was provided when we did 275.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I sent it again to
it was a cost estimate of doing rail with trail. That, you know, the whole idea was to understand it was done when we did 275. Because that had surface designation and they did a back of the envelope assessment.
In addition, I wholeheartedly agree that looking at other studies is important. We had an Adirondack study that was one of those. The one study that was done on this quarter did not include, health benefits. Health impact was not included in that study. I don't believe transportation impact. So where this starts to go is two places in my mind. One has to do with how is it that you're defining economic development? What is economic development? We had an active transportation conference in Ulster County last Friday, and one of the things that was very, very clear from the presentation and the data that was given is that there are community quality of life benefits, there are quantifiable health benefits, there are transportation benefits, and there are economic revitalization benefits. All of these fall under the larger umbrella of economic benefits. So, since it has been mentioned, rail with trail has been talked about between Midtown Houston and Bishop, or in various sections short of that, including different types. There's also the suggestion that maybe it should just be rail. The ALTA study talked about the trail going out to Route 28. So there's a transportation question that needs to be answered here. And where this leads for us has to do with policy. It has to be looking not just at the rail corridor, but if you do not have a trail, either trail alone or side-by-side rail with trail, if it's not feasible, then you're looking at a project, a transportation project on Route 28 to create your non-motorized corridor connects the Catskill Park Route 28 communities to the rest of your non-motorized transportation network, so in our view, that's very important to include in this conversation because of, you know, and I don't know exactly how you're going to do that. $37 on the phone contract, but I think that you can get some answers, you can get some ranges of what you're looking at, and you can get some advisory opinion about that road to the corridor using the actual highway for pedestrians and bicycles and what that would actually mean to you. That's what I'm told, that's very important.
In answer to that, the New York State Department of Transportation has undertaken several studies that probably include the Route 28 corridor. So there is some of that work that has been done that we should avail ourselves to. Region 8 Poughkeepsie office does have a trying to think of his title, but they a cycle coordinator, for lack of another word, if that's not his title, and if it comes to me, I'll think of it. But So I'm sure we can get in contact with the DOT through their liaison. Mm-hmm. Or less.
On highway, you don't have that.
Correct.
You're going to have the grids that jump up from the townhouse to Hickory Barbecue. That's a great grid.
That's called the challenge.
That's called the challenge.
Yeah.
And that's going to limit your users on that corner.
Or might bring some mountain bikers out. We're not sure.
If some of them, I think one thing that the committee could do and the consultants could do, some of it could be done in-house, is review all kinds of policies. You have health policies. You have a community health improvement plan for the county. You have other health policies that this is part of. You have a non-motorized transportation plan. You have an open space plan, which references exactly the benefits of having trails on it.
Thank you.
I mean, I think, again, we've got to get back to the gritty here. I mean, I understand that we want to put in every single thing you can put in, but we want to look at the corridor and we look at the, I know the Moines study, the, you know, the economic benefits are quite dated in it, and some are kind of questionable, actually.
Just 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, and were questionable then. So, you know, my take on it is...
Questionable why?
Things are in there that are not... I don't know that you could... You'd have to ask some pointed questions on how they come up with some of the numbers. But anyway, yeah, that's why those type of numbers need to be redone. We know that. I think that's I think everybody agrees with that. Look at what the economic benefits are of either a rail or a trail or a road or whatever it takes to be, whatever we're looking at. But no, we need to look at pretty change. So, but I mean, we can't bring in every single thing.
It's a very limited budget as well.
We're not using anything.
Yeah. Okay, let me go
out. The three of us did not coordinate on a question here, but I have to say that whatever is undertaken in the way of study, the first question has to be how does any proposal benefit the health and welfare of 185,000 or so owners of the corridor? It ain't necessarily about direct knowledge of it. Why not dollars have to be considered? And if there's poorer than what
it
costs for green dollars, I think that's secondary to the health and welfare of the residents of the home and border.
Can you state your name one more time?
John Rothbard. Of course, the study is still in existence, which is part of the need of bringing some of the stakeholders in the city of Kingston and the Metro Project, Green Line, and there's all the studies out there. There's a lot of planning that is looking to tie, you know, the trails together, including the trail on the UMG. And, you know, in that segment, you know, it's going to be coordinated up the site. But another thing that I think is important here is that you have to decide what are limitations. For example, contract the DEP a limitation on doing anything with that 11.5 miles other than trail. And if you don't specify that to a consultant, he might come back and say that it should only be rail through there. Or maybe it should be a gas pipeline with power lines on it. That's going to give them all money back to the county. I think you need to set those, scope of what kinds of things you want here, and what are the limitations that you specify?
It's complicated because, I mean, the contract with the DEP states that either party can mandate it within 20 days' notice. So,
100.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
why. So they should know that. But, you know, that we're not, stuck with one use for that 1.5 mile corridor. And we can keep the money, apparently.
Well, we can't keep it. We have to spend it.
Well,
we're going
to reimburse. Whatever we spend, we don't have to get back. I mean, that's basically, you know. So it's very complicated. And then, again, we're getting early into.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to get it tonight.
But
yeah.
Okay.
Did you have something else to add?
Yeah. I'll come back to the Carl for a moment. Well, maybe part of that $1 million we've got now should be added to this 30,000 to help facilitate this research.
Chris isn't going to give it up.
I think that when you ask the question, what is the problem, part of the problem as I see it is within this community, there's a very strong sentiment for a trail, and there's also very strong sentiment for a railroad. And I was very struck in reading the Adirondack report you made available, thank you, in which the Renton to Lake Classic travel corridor was studied. And in their fact sheet, they say, part of their research shows, 50% of people wanted the trail and 50% wanted a railroad, and that they worked on also community interest in both issues. So it's not just economic, and it's not just for health benefits or recreation, but it's also looking at that in this county, we have a unique feature, which is a railroad, which many other counties do not have. And I think that the feelings of people who care about a railroad are very important, as well as the feelings of people who really want a trail. And I really would like to see that as part of the research and study.
In terms of the comments about the community study, it is very current, and this is the first that I've heard of any questions about their methodology. They are similar to the same results as the new study out of Adirondack. One thing we don't have is we don't have an independent audit of the railroad ridership. We have self-reports from the railroad, and if we're basing decisions about economic benefits, then I think it would be helpful, and it probably isn't very expensive to get an independent audit of railroad ridership. And that could be done during the summer when the ridership is at its height, and compared with the figures that have been reported over time.
Okay. And that Comoyne study, I believe, was 2013, just for the record. So.
And maybe it's even, I don't know, if, is there a representative that would be willing to respond to questions that we may have on that?
Yeah.
Because if you have serious concerns, why not see if we can, you know, ask for...
They lose credibility as a firm if they said, you know, you're going to have 6 million people and 1 million show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's better to go the other way for them, where they said there would be 260,000 people on the walkway and there ended up being 750 or 700.
Right.
Again, I'm not sure if they would want to be paid to come. It's certainly not within the scope of the contract that they finished.
Mm-hmm. Well, but if it would be put a question to them saying, look, you know, we have some questions about, and you know, the methodology and the study, and I mean, that could help satisfy. I mean, part of this
I'm not worried about that all that time.
But if it's a data point,
just so there's no, that's why we're going to be asking for the numbers. We want to get the numbers.
But when you say there are questions on that as a general statement, like we should
have the thing in front of me. So
no, I know. That's what we should. We will look at everyone. I have looked at it, but everyone should look at it. And if you have specific questions, then we should get those specific questions addressed instead of throwing it out there that just there are questions. Once, and I'm not expecting you to have them right now.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's why we want to get an independent study to take a look at.
But if we're using this data and go, the whole thing is to re-examine. It's not to do another study. It's to re-examine. If we've got questions, what we have, we should get those questions delegated. All I'm saying is, I hear that you have some questions. I hear you have concerns about data. If this is one of those studies that we are going to use as a re-examination, your question should be answered.
Yes, Mary. Well,
Cindy, you guys seen that and then her?
You have the study and then?
Yes. Circulate that whole
study. At the beginning of the written questions.
Yeah,
virtually this is why it's so important that we work on getting the consultant.
Yes.
Because he certainly could verify.
Help facilitate. Right.
No.
I was just going to say the Des Moines study is finished. That contract is ended. They're under no obligation to come in before us and do anything. If they did that, it would be probably in their best interest to get future work with the county, but I mean, time is money like every other contract, to ask people to come at their own time and offer something.
I wasn't asking to, I would not assume anybody would walk in here for nothing, but all I meant was if we've got questions about a study that is putting the study in question as part of our review process, then we should be able to go back to them, even if it's going to cost us money, to, you know, to ensure that there is a comfort level with the data that's been presented. That's
and we're going to have to be specific in any firm. We're going to have to be specific about the
comparison, too, that it's not necessarily high-end, you know, comparison of what is going to happen if it was a rail from such and such a place to another, or a trail from such and such a place to another. And that, what are the comparisons of those? Because I don't know if they're very clear. I don't think we have those.
This is going to be quite a process, and I think for all of us that are sitting here, we all know, you know, who sways one way or another, you know, lay on a table. So my point is that anybody that has a question, it has to be responded to. It has to be, you know, the questions have to be answered, because when it comes to the final decision or recommendation, we want to have somebody saying, well, I never liked that anyway, and I never got an answer. I don't want to waste my time.
And we're going to have to be
sitting there to hear that, you know, when we finally do come, hopefully we can come to an agreement, all of us at the table, knowing where we're all starting from.
Right.
I
want to wrap it up. I saw hands out in the crowd. Are there new comments, John? New comments?
Yeah, new ones. If this is all the comments about the community study, we also have to require that the railroad business plan, the much accurate in economics and economy, the management professor of the great that. I had a lot of questions about the assumptions that we to build those numbers. And then if you go here to ask the city questions, what's the best way to get
I think we'll have to have all, Jeanette said we'll have to, if and when there are questions, they're going to need to be specific, and they're going to need to be specifically addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, did you have one new comment?
Well, I think John's got comments covered.
Okay, so I will work with Carol using the resolution of the skeleton, and if everyone between now and then can think about it, looking at the document that Carol and Mark distribute through the legislative clerk's office, and also the two question sheets from Herb, everyone can look at all three of those, review the information from Mark and Carol today, as well as the resolution and any other thoughts you might have, be prepared to discuss and drill down at the next meeting, both the scope of work and the judging criteria. I want to briefly just update, we are set for the two tours. Today I got Ernie's list of my itinerary stop, which I'm going to touch base with Chris White about your list for the UCAT tour, so that we'll have a solid itinerary. I would expect that day is going to be a long day. June 26th.
And
26th at 9, meeting here.
June
26th
at 9?
Yep.
It's on your agenda.
It's on your agenda.
Oh, it's not clear to me. I have to miss that, but I will make the July 11th. But what section is that?
26 is the whole thing from beginning to end.
There's any way you can be there, so you can
Yeah, it's the one with all the stops. So we'll have the UCAT bus.
And the 11th is?
The 11th is Kingston to the Glenford Dyke.
Right.
I think so.
July
11th?
Yeah.
What is this for?
What is
this? I'm sorry. That's Kingston to the Glenford Dyke. The both of us. So that's an 8 o'clock leave, right?
That's a business hall?
Yes.
That's 8 a.m. And she was doing that's at 8 a.m.
That's right. Chris, can you work the first?
I did it. Yeah. Do you have a number of how many anticipators are on?
I will definitely get you a number.
The size. It will determine which vehicle we take, which will also determine where I can actually get. One of the reasons I haven't gotten the list
I will confirm, I will get numbers for you. Right now, Nana is the only person I've heard no from on the committee.
Yeah.
So all the rest of the committee.
Trying to change it, but my son is coming up from D.C. I don't see him very often, and it's a joint.
Do you want him to come? Oh, yeah. But we can bring him home. We'll make that special. Okay. So, and Chris, I will touch base with you tomorrow and get your earnings. I'm going to give you earnings list tonight.
Yeah.
And then.
Okay.
That's more than understandable, because we don't want to get in somewhere where we can't get out to. So. Okay.
We want the.
Okay, so I'll entertain a meeting.
I'll make a motion for the second.
All in favor?
All
right. Thank you very much.